they do in terms of how we spray. And then, you know, that they don't spray the workers already, see, and that's what they do. Over and over again. They don't spray right over. And these are actually, it's approved, it's approved, it's documented, there's no question about it. Just become a site for the ready to go mission. And then we have the question of the support labor that I told you very funny. The labor knows the issue and appreciate that more than anyone else because everyone has gone through it. Or at least the leadership has. Most of the leadership is old. They were there from the good old days. They know exactly what we're going through. And they're supporting the strike by and large. Financially, they're including the 90% of it. Then we have the liberals who support the county. They just show the minds of them. There's so many good issues now. And then we have the students who have no money, have their own problems, but who are very consistent, you know, in being opposed to a power structure. Then we have the church. We have two things, you know, and we have the Catholic bishops on the right, up on the right, who haven't even not been willing to endorse the boycott as a group, although a few of them have. And we have the micro ministry on the left, who have given themselves and everything that they own and that they have, you know, to the struggle. And then in between, we have a lot of support. We always considered, you know, that the church missed its bet, you know, when it became isolated from the labor movement. I don't know how it happened or why it happened, but I know that it's very isolated. And I know that because it's isolated, it's also isolated from the people. Well, at least those who don't come to church of our worship. And maybe some of those things that we criticize today for doing, maybe we should be criticizing the church for giving up its role in the whole field of that ethics. The whole question of being concerned with for those who are in this area, familiar with us, those who are in need. See, the Liberal Movement also has sort of separated itself from the poor. The poor are not organized in this country. That's why they're poor. And when you take East Los Angeles, example, in East Los Angeles, hundreds, thousands of people work in places where a labor union cannot organize them and service them because the union is very small. There's what, 2, 3, 1, 5, 6, 10 employees. A labor union has structured. But it's to pay the best wages to its representatives and all of the benefits and all these things that they do. They care about. It's impossible to service a local or a union with 2 workers or 5 workers. They couldn't. Financially, they couldn't do it. So they set up now. We find ourselves in the same boat. We get a lot of other contracts where there's 2 or 3 workers at this point. small growing. We feel that we get the license, there's no reason to get this moment. Really, you know. Anyway, the smallness follow the lead of the license. And the license of the case study. But I think what has happened is that the church, even in Porter's case, confusing issue. It has looked at our issue as a labor, strictly a labor issue. That's how they look at it. And when they say a labor issue, they use the labor issue, the benchmark that they use is labor as a whole. And they don't think of this labor issue as an issue of poor people. Who, doesn't matter how well organized they are, many of them, they'll never have enough money to run their own operation with the needs that are always present. You know that a member in our union makes probably 300% more demands in this union than one of the big locals in this country. Take a plumber, he doesn't have, he's got money to take care of the medical needs, he's got money to take care of legal needs, he's got his money to take care of all of his needs. You take a farm worker, even in the contract, with $1.92 an hour, they haven't got enough money to take care of their needs. They still have to come to the union, they still have to provide some kind of aid to a service center to help them deal with the public agency or the private agency that's dealing with. I'm not saying that those were not organized. So, some of the church groups have seen it, have given us their prayers, but they haven't really given us much more than that. The union is built, the church cannot expect the workers to have any respect for it. It can't. Why should they respect the church? But this is what some of these countries that don't do revolutions find out. Mexico is an example. The leadership in Mexico is by and large anti-church. Finding out what happened with the church support alongside the revolution. And in Italy, we have a country in France. Long distance call for 2 months. And a few other countries. Seems to me that the church has to be for the poor. Otherwise, how can it justify being a church or its existence? It can't. Now, I'm not saying there's not difficult church, and that's the problem. The problem is that there are churches on the other side. The only experience is here in Leno. The church is pretty much, with some exceptions now, abandoned. They badmouth the union, but as much as the court in some areas, in some cases. Do you think that the workers have any respect for those ministers who do it for the priests? No, they don't. Do you think that stops there? It doesn't stop there. The poor and the women have a way of probably indicting them on themselves, a very important way. You know, they have to get in the end to look at the church like government, like the campaign. We think that the church is a lot to gain by associating itself with just causes. But I think it has an awful lot to gain by associating with the poor and by making stand. Especially in this day and age of confrontation and struggle. If we, you know, if we, for instance, take a look at the slums and the ghettos And we sit here and we wonder why all the violence, you know. And then we look, you know, and look at their footage, the long line. There were, you know, probably Montgomery and a few other victims in it. They're trying to save the church by appropriating money to be sort of kind of saved that way. The church, let's face it, you know, as far as we're concerned, the poor, when they're in struggle, before they wake up and they're going to struggle, you know. But the poor are struggling. Look at the church, they're born, babies. Unless, in those instances where the church is very much a part of the struggle. And well, of course, we couldn't even ask that everybody do that, you know, the ladies that have come to do the Lord's too. But I think she would have. The church is probably the only institution that can work both ends. But they're not doing it in any case. We think that this year the strike is going to be probably more intense than any other time. The workers are going to realize that we have less time left. Of course, my hope is that we'll be able to settle something before too long. Otherwise, it's going to disintegrate, I think, into an underground movement. I think of what makes mine happen. But keep moving together and I'll be able to win for only 4 years. It won't be very.
I have two questions. One on this matter of pesticides. Aren't you able to get some answers from Hawaii where the unions are stronger? And the second question I have is, you say you are hopeful for a settlement. Now, if you don't favor the National Labor Relations Board, and you certainly don't favor the Nixon proposal or the Growers proposal, what is the basis of your optimism?
Well, your first question, see, in Hawaii, where they have not only a union for farm workers, but they have a very strong legislature that's oriented for the workers. What they have done is they've made very, very sure that the workers are protected. It's not a question of setting rules and regulations. Those are already set. The question is, the real issue is following those regulations. We have all kinds of rules in California. About the country, but they're not following. And so they don't know that they make sure they're following. And so they have that problem solved.
As a matter of pesticides, how long after they need to wait? Questions like this, do you have the answers for yourself?
Well, see, we don't have the answers for everything, but we do have the answers for some protection. For instance, we know that we shouldn't go into the reduced rate with their fines. We shouldn't be there for many days. We know that. We know that what the symptoms are, and we know that in this deal is the administrative clarifying. And we went there, waited the number of days required, and still somebody comes here immediately. We know that if we had anything to say, we'd pull everybody out and give that man the proper attention. We have no say so. Now, on the question of legislation, we want to be covering the length of the Relations Act. It's proper. That's what we should be. But to apply the law that it now stands and now applies to the labor movement that is organized, I'm speaking now what the workers want and how they see it, and being very frank about organizing. We're not going to organize with the National Relations Act as amended by the FIP. By the demographic. We're going to be dealing in almost every case in Lakewood State. We've been in Texas, quite a few of us in Texas. We've been here for 30 days. What happened in Arizona? You know, they got it in the junction line, you can't pay it. This way, in other words, they can install them.
I think some of us are coming to see that. My real question is, recognizing this, what kind of settlement do you look for?
I think that the proposal we made was that we should be covered under the Wagner Act as a means to cover the beginning, where the government complicated it. No question about that. That's why we need to go. They are very old in industrial strike. All of the problems that we're in, very great problems, all you know, were raised because the government made a policy to stand by the workers and help them equalize power. Once the power was equalized, they came back and they took some of the power within the union through the amendment. They didn't start the union. It couldn't destroy them because they were already sick. It equalized them. Now they come to us and they kept us out of the law and then they want to give us the one, a few provisions of the good law and then a whole lot of provisions for the anti-union. The Tea Party is a complete out and out anti-union law and so it's kind of different. We can't do the job. So I'm saying we're going to do the job then. We've got to have the same climate that the union set under the Wagner Act. Give you an example. The world of national under the NRA is extensive now. We have a large number of doors in strike. Each door will be a separate case. You know how much money we take no less than $1 million in legal fees in 3 or 4 or 5 years to untangle the terrorism.
People without any law. Out of doors and now saying, you know, there's no way to settle. It's just right, without some kind of...
Oh, no.
Then say machinery.
No, what they're saying is, what they want anti-union legislation. They want to go even beyond the TEP idea and beyond the legislature. They want to have a no-strike clause in the contract. You don't do that in free society. I don't care if it's peaches or apple cows or automobiles. You cannot bring peace to peace between the workers and the employers and you take the right to strike away from you. I'm not saying that I'm in favor of striking during harvest time. What I'm saying is that if they pass a law prohibiting us from striking, they take 90% of our bargaining power away from us. Now, when we're not confronted with the right to the whole question of striking, then we place that on the table as a negotiating item, and we use that all to negotiate. But we haven't, the relationship with the employees we have are fine. And every commission we do has an every single one. The same. Also, we have, in the chamber, we also have an all-out count law. Now, they enact legislation and take the right, our right to strike and boycott, then imagine what's going to happen. The organization is going to go on the ground. And the peace is going to come.
Are you feeling some type of legislation on the ability to strike at harvest is not, this doesn't have to be, you don't have to have this in order to gain the end. Is that right?
Most of the employers we have in the contract, most of them are fewer, but most of them are not struck. And the contracts were fashioned so that they expire during the off-season. All of them do that. So that we have 3 or 4 months or 5 months to argue and negotiate. And have it ready so that it doesn't appear to harvest.
But are you willing to give up your ability to strike at harvest before you add a contract?
No. North Green name will be, North Green Union name will be, we're going to do that.
Why is this?
Why is this?
Yes.
Because that's sacred to us, it's the right to go vote. It's sacred to me in the work.
Well, there's quite a bit of difference in the balance there.
No, there isn't one on difference in the balance. You're dealing with a very powerful employer. You tell me, we've been striking for 3.5 years, how far have we gotten? We haven't destroyed their profit, they've done a great day, have we?
Well, this indicates that you couldn't persuade the workers.
It indicates that the employers are not willing to deal with their workers. It indicates that we have refrained from bombing their places and burning them down. It indicates that we have had respect for the private property. That's what it indicates.
Well, you mean?
Look, if we wanted to, we'd go out there and destroy their private property.
You mean, if you want to have a private argument, see there.
No, that's right. Let me have a private argument.
Yeah, no, there's some question.
This is the same thing that I talked about, the Negro Civil Rights Movement. The liberal comes in at a point, where he thinks he's getting too much. And nothing left that oppressed people do the complete job so that they can have a dream of the family. Don't worry about the employees, they're not going to go broke. Worry about us to get an equal footing with that. That's what you should worry about. If you want to see some kind of peace out of here.
Well, I'm not in harvest, and I'm irrigating now, but I know that if I couldn't, my men weren't...
Oh, you're an employer?
Yes, I'm a farm employer.
That's where the argument should be.
No, well, yes, you're right. This is where the argument has to be in the rope of town. But what I'm trying to say is that I know that on my farm, and I'm sure it's the same on most farms, that if I can't get the help I need at certain times, at any time of the year, and at certain times, it's very critical. But right now, we're irrigating. If we put off irrigating for 2 or 3 weeks, we have a serious loss.
Yeah, well, you see, that right to be protected from time immemorial, what about us? What about our losses? What about poverty? What about all of the things that employers have done to us as human beings? What about they come?
You have the right to walk off the job anytime.
You have the right.
Well, don't you?
You have the right to starve if you can't come.
I'd ask a question.
Pardon me. I think you've just both agreed that the union should have the right to walk off the job. You just said it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So they do have the right to strike.
Well, we have the right to meet with intelligent employers and work out an agreement. That's about what's the union. If the employer is not willing to let its workers have a union and force them to strike in order to recognize the union, what kind of employer is it? 17 cents or a power even very fast.
Some employers are saying they can't be the union to work out a settlement without some kind of legislation. Matt Walter was saying, what is your reason for optimism? Aside from the legislation, do you expect that there's going to be some litigation for growers?
Okay. So they don't need legislation to do that. You recall everything you said in newspapers, so you know, you read it. In 1935, we had the idea of the employers, it was the workers, or rather the drawers who prevented the workers from being covered in the National Labor Relations Act. It was a drawer lobby. And since then, they've opposed everything. Minimum wage, housing, child labor, everything coming opposed it. Now, it's late. They want legislation. They're not getting anyone. They want to press the legislation. What they want is to take away our rights as citizens, as workers, to use that the only weapon we have. Their weapon is the right to strike in order to get employers to come to the table. But see, we say that we have that as a reserve. We don't have to strike. If we have people who, employers who are modern in their, in the first place, they're very few minds about labor relations. But you don't even have to get to a point of striking. You don't have to. What happens is that they don't want to come to the table. They will not seek the work. Now, they're going to settle with us because at some point it's going to become more expensive to fight the union than to settle with the union. At that point, they're going to settle. Isn't that sad? It's very sad. Very sad.
I read in the paper just quickly this morning about the Defense Department apparently shipping a great many grapes to South Vietnam. What's the validity of that newspaper article?
It's right. The government is taking off its flag. Our own government, under the Johnson administration, most under the Nixon administration, are buying grapes and sending them to Vietnam. They're doing it to strike with the boycotting. This is a direct, the Eastern, I hope government to follow up the way. Then, this was their prayer. I don't know if you eat good cocktails, but we have a can laying around for the last, say, 2 years, opening compared to what we get in your store today. And an awful lot of great
count the grapes.
You mean now? They're blaming now.
By what authority, under legislation or the Constitution, does the Defense Department have to take this kind of side in a labor strike?
Well, you know, the military is all that's done, and what they're doing is